Bum, ba-da-dum. Welcome to the Austin Therapy Podcast. I'm Kate. I have a background in psychology, and I am sibling to Teresa, and I have a background in social work. And today we are reading chapters 6, 7, and 8 of Northanger Abbey. Woohoo! So, Teresa, what do you think of the Thorpes now?
Oh, the Thorpes.
Right?
The
You were feeling
Thorpes.
happy about Isabella at the end of the last episode.
I think my feelings towards the Thorpes reflect what I like, how they are as characters, in that, like, I don't think they're all bad, but like, I don't think they're the villains of this story. And maybe they are, and I'm wrong. But I'm not getting villain energy. I'm just getting, like, these would not be people I would choose to be friends with.
So there is definitely a moment where John Thorpe was talking and he's just going on and on about his horses and like look at their flanks and their loins. And I was just like, oh, this is Mr. Collins energy, where he's l not the villain, but extremely dislikable and you want to get away from him as much as possible.
I think both of them annoy me, right? Like, actually, Mr. Thorpe feels less like a Mr. Collins because I vehemently hate Mr. Collins, and more like a Mrs. Bennet, where you're like, just like, no one cares. Stop talking. Like, what? No one cares. Go away. Or like a Carolyn Bingley, where you're just like, you just don't get it.
Okay.
So not at the level of hate as Mr. Collins yet. We're still very early in this book. Maybe they do become villains. I don't know. But definitely not characters I like. And I really want to like Isabella for Catherine's sake, but both Isabella and James? No. John Thorpe.
John Thorpe, James Moreland, Catherine's
Yes.
brother.
Because that's not confusing, Jane Austen. Come on. Names with different initials.
Wait until you get to the book where there's like four Johns.
Why? Why does she forsake us so?
Because surnames were the thing that
I
you
know,
used.
I get it. And everyone in that time period had the same names as they do now, and those were names that were in vogue as they still are now. I get it, but still, it's confusing. Anyways. Isabella and John are both very self-centered in these chapters. Like, my impression of Isabella is, like, she, right off the bat, she's arrived 5 minutes before Catherine. Catherine's not actually late. And then she's like, I've been here for half an hour. Like, it's so dramatic for no reason.
She's gaslighting Catherine into thinking that she is late.
Yeah. And Catherine's like, but I'm not late.
We
What?
agreed on this time. And Isabel is like, you're wrong.
I've been here for half an hour, and why weren't you here? So I don't love that. I also noticed it's interesting the way Jane Austen describes the initial conversation. It's the following conversation, which took place between two friends in the pump room one morning after an acquaintance of 8 or 9 days, is given as a specimen of their very warm attachment and of the delicacy, discretion, originality of thought, and literary taste which marked the reasonableness of that attachment. It's interesting that she describes the conversation as such, because I don't actually think that that is what the conversation reflects in any sense. I think parts of, well, maybe not in any sense, but there are parts of it. She's being very clear that this is an early friendship, that like they've only known each other for a couple days, but they're very strongly attached, and that like it's still kind of tepid waters to be walking through. But when I initially read that, I thought like, oh, this will be a nice sweet conversation between the two of them with some reciprocity and back and forth. And Isabella directs this entire conversation. Every time Catherine tries to bring up something that's interesting to her in this conversation, particularly the book that they've been reading, Isabella just brings the conversation back to like whatever the fuck she wants to talk about, which you and I have a significant person in our life who does this frequently, who we adore dearly, but also like it's really frustrating.
I mean, I'm very like I'm tentatively walking on what I should say because I don't know how much input to give without being without revealing things. But yeah, Isabella's very self-centered. This very much shows that she is trying to engage in this relationship with Catherine in a position of power.
Yes.
She's trying to be in charge. And Catherine's like, why? Who cares? There's just such... Catherine not really knowing what to do with Isabella is very much how it reads. And I get the impression that part of why Catherine is giving so much leeway, and maybe it's not even leeway, because I get the impression that Catherine does a lot of like sitting back and just like, oh, I'm going to observe you talking and see and examine what you're saying and examine your logic. But there are so many moments where Catherine tries to say something and Isabella is just like, no, that's stupid. And they just do something that Catherine isn't comfortable with. And it's a weird thing to read and be like, huh, okay.
Well, it's interesting that you think Catherine's sitting back and observing and kind of watching. I envision her to be a much more passive passenger in this conversation. And I think it happens with John as well in her conversations with him, in that Catherine is so agreeable in many ways and like maybe a little naive, a little young, that she just goes along with things, right? Like, I don't feel like Catherine has a fully formed sense of who she is in order to be able to say like, no, I don't agree. Or like, actually, I was talking. Can I finish saying what I was going to say?
I think there's an aspect of Catherine that she's been dropped into a new world, right? She hasn't had much socializing. She doesn't understand all of the intricacies of etiquette in terms of should she have accepted the invitation to ride in the open carriage with John Thorpe. And she doesn't know what a friendship looks like because she's never really had a bonded friendship like she's having with Isabella. And I guess for me, that's why I think she's doing some observing, and maybe observing is the wrong word. She's doing absorbing and kind of, I get the impression that she's kind of sitting back and thinking, how is this conversation making me feel? And I get the impression in that first chapter 6 with Isabella that Catherine's kind of sitting back and being like, there are pieces of this that are confusing and kind of uncomfortable. And that is... I guess what I mean when I say that she's sitting back and observing, maybe not in terms of, oh, I know that that is gaslighting, but she's observing in that there are things happening that are incongruent with what she thinks should be happening.
Yeah, I see that. And I think it comes clear to me in that there are moments where Isabella contradicts herself, mm-hmm. or is
John Thorpe like, does too.
Mm-hmm. And both of them like give me this sense of being very two-faced, or a little like used cars salesman trope of like they're gonna tell you what you want to hear,
what they think you want to hear,
what they think you want to hear and what they want to say, but it doesn't necessarily reflect reality,
right,
in that way. And it comes up when I first really picked up on it was Isabella talking about her friend who she's like, she's so beautiful. And I would never let any man discount that she's so beautiful. And then like two paragraphs later is like, she's so insipid. It's like, what dare you do? Like, you can't say like, I love my friend dearly and I will defend her anytime, and then insult her two paragraphs later without coming across as like two-faced.
Right. Well, and I think it's very telling that she is engaging in this sort of social gossip with Catherine about someone that Catherine doesn't know. So the only purpose of it at the start is, hey, look at what a great friend I am. And she's kind of almost using her friend to show off. And then later she uses her friend, she's nagging her friend to up Catherine.
Yeah.
I would almost say not necessarily used car salesmen because they're doing a job and everybody kind of goes in and knows what their job is. I'd say that Isabella gives off more con man energy. Because for me, that behavior of, hey, I'm going to talk about this intimate relationship I have with someone and about all of the positive ways that I take care of this person and how much I love them. And then I'm going to neg this person to push you up. I'm going to, like, I think there's a line in here where she says that Miss Andrews should be more like Catherine.
Yeah, she does. And it's talking about like her having like good animation and her, and that's where she calls Miss Andrews insipid also.
And that's almost like giving Catherine a double compliment now, because she's explained that she's super close to Miss Andrews and she feels like she'll defend her to the ends of the earth. And I think more of you, Catherine.
Yeah, and more of you after only have known you for 8 or 9 days.
Yeah.
So like our bond is really special.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Isabella is not painted as a person I would trust. She does not come across as trustworthy.
Well, because she's gossiping.
Yeah, she's gossiping super quick. And it's almost a little bit like, she makes me think a little bit of the saying of keep your friends close, but your enemies closer. You kind of want to keep her close because she's so untrustworthy that if you don't have some handle on her, it might be worse.
Do you think that that's a little bit of Isabella's mindset in terms of her friendship with Catherine? Because she says that Catherine is one of those girls who will turn all of the heads and she wants to dress similar to her. Is she trying to glomp onto Catherine to up her visibility because Catherine is someone who will get attention?
I don't know if it's necessarily to increase her visibility, but here's what it makes me actually think of. It makes me think of Mean Girls.
Mm.
And at the very start where like she befriends the like head mean girl, she befriends Regina in order to then sabotage her. And I wonder if this is the scenario where Isabella has befriended someone that she wants to then be able to like sabotage, of like, oh, I'm going to learn your secrets so I can throw those out if I need to make myself look better. And so maybe not quite exactly the mean girl's situation, but she has a mean girl's flair to her.
Right. Yeah, she does. Isabella is, she seems kind of schemey.
Yes. And so does John Thorpe. Like, he also comes across as schemey.
Should we progress through chapter 6 so that we can get to the full force of John Thorpe?
Yes, because I think we're going to have a lot to say. There was a, like, short aside. So Isabella lists all these books, and also the book they're reading are none of those books I've ever heard of. So, like, maybe I'm a really horrible reader.
So the thing about Austin has a great episode on Udolpho. Please go listen to it, and you can learn a lot more about the Gothic novel. These are all Gothic novels. So they're reading horror novels. Romantic horror is what they're reading. And Udolpho was a really popular book at the time, and they're naming popular books from that time. I think maybe part of the reason that you've never heard of them is they're older and also not your genre. But these are the novels that Jane Austen is satiring with this novel.
Right. Well, and I did have this thought of, like, it would be kind of fun to do a side podcast of reading all the books that Jane Austen references in her books.
I think we would have a ride with Udolpho, because having listened to the podcast, it's messy. It's a good way to put the sort of storyline. He's messy.
Okay, good to know. Well, maybe that'll be after we finish the core six. Six?
Yes, the core six.
Yeah, when we finish the core six, maybe we'll throw that in as an aside.
Your face, like, six?
Well, I was worried that I had the number wrong.
Yeah, you got six more years, or five more years of this.
Woo! One book a year!
But I love when they're talking about these Gothic novels. that they're like, yes, it's horrible, isn't it? Yes, it's so horrid. And they're just every bookstagrammer ever who is into a genre being excited about something that everyone else is like, what is wrong with you?
Yes.
Because these two are so excited for horror books.
Are both of them excited? I don't get the same feeling that Isabella is as excited, because she doesn't want to talk about it. And maybe it's because she's finished the book, so she's just like, when you're done, we can talk about it. But Catherine seems so eager to talk about it. And Isabella's just kind of like, cool, what are you wearing tonight?
Yeah. I always got the impression that there was a little bit of Isabella not wanting to spoil things. But okay, so like she starts talking about what's behind the black veil. And then Isabella's like, how delightful. Are you not wild to know? And then Catherine is, what can it be? I wouldn't have left my book if I didn't have to come and meet you. Then she goes back to talking about Miss Andrews.
Yes. This is a whole very weird exchange.
It's okay. So what I get from that is not so much that Isabella doesn't want to talk about the book, so much as Isabella wants to be in control of the conversation.
Oh, most definitely.
I think there are definitely differing levels of enthusiasm. Catherine is filling her life with books. She is content and happy. That is her place to be. And Isabella's like, yeah, I like books.
Yeah, I will say there was a moment where Isabella was like, oh yeah, like I have a long list of books for us to read together. And there was just something about their differing excitements about things. I was like, oh, it's us. Like, here I am doing this podcast with you based on your favorite books.
Wait, does that make me Isabella?
No, because I don't think she's as excited as Catherine about things. And I think you still remain as excited or more excited than me about these books.
To be fair, though, I don't think... have you actually gotten excited about Jane Austen?
I like Jane Austen.
This is where you're Isabella.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. But my point was that, like, the one friend who's like, all these books, let's read books. And the other friend who's like, cool, that's a lot of books. Yeah, that's us.
Then getting back to the book, they're talking about Miss Andrews again. I don't know if we need to go over all of it, but it's a weird segue of kind of like, let me tell you about my friend.
Yeah. I don't know what to make of this conversation in lots of ways. It's a weird conversation. It's a hard conversation to listen to. They just feel so mismatched to each other, but also forcing this relationship in some ways. And I think some of it is out of necessity. Like, neither one has someone else. But it makes me think about, like, I remember being a kid and going off to camp, and none of your regular friends are there, so you tell all the, like, people you meet there about how cool your regular friends are. It's like a little bit that way of, like,
because I'm cool by association.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And then Isabella mentions that Catherine is going to turn heads, and that a young man was looking at her, and he must be in love with her. And then teases her about having a crush on Tilney. And this is the thing, you know, when Darcy talks about women taking things too far, you say that you like someone and all of a sudden you're at the altar. He's right in that that's a social pressure that often gets put on people, of like what happens to Catherine here, where Catherine's, yeah, I like Tilney, but I also like reading. It's okay. I'll be fine if he doesn't come back. And Isabella's like, no, you will be devastated. I know you.
It's like, okay. Like, no. Well, in that section, I wrote down that my impression of where Catherine is a little bit like, oh, like that could be a fun vacation fling. Like, he was a fun guy to chat to, but she's not planning their life or like writing her wedding vows. She's like, I liked him, but whatever. Like, if he doesn't come back, I have other things in my life that are fulfilling.
Right.
And Isabella is just so adamant of, you love him. And Catherine's like, I met him once.
Yeah. And Catherine's like, don't make this more than it is. Don't persuade me to like him more than I should. He might never come back. And Isabella's like, no, that you'll be miserable if he doesn't come return. And Catherine, like, this is one of those moments. Everybody's like, Catherine has her head up in the clouds. I'm like, actually, no, Catherine seems pretty grounded. Catherine's like, I liked this guy. Yes, I gushed about him because I'm a 17-year-old with a crush, but I'm not planning my marriage to him. I am enjoying my book.
I think that maybe some of that people think Catherine's up in the air, like up in the clouds, is in the initial chapters, Jane Austen inserts her voice quite a bit and does this whole thing of like talking about like a heroine's journey, which feels really lofty and feels really like romanticized and maybe a little airy, up in the clouds. Versus these chapters, we hear less of Jane Austen's voice in it. And she only once mentions the heroine of this novel in these three chapters. And so I think this definitely feels more grounded for Catherine. Mm-hmm. Versus those initial chapters, you do get a little bit of that sense of like, she's going to get rescued and it's going to be amazing.
Well, and I think that that's why this is a good satire, because it's almost like it flips between the ridiculous and the grounded, and the ridiculous and the grounded. Yes. And you can see how the Thorpes would be really good characters for that.
Well, yeah, because they flip and they're ridiculous. Yeah. Can I put in a like fun aside about me into this story? Which is, it's in the book, but it made me think of me. So Isabella asked Catherine, what is your favorite complexion in a man? And I just had this like vivid memory, and this comes to mind for me all the time when I think about like, when did I know that I was queer? And it's like, it must have been at some sleepover in like elementary school, middle school, where, or elementary school and junior high, like where a group of girls are putting together their like perfect guy. And mine was like, I like this guy's complexion. Because I like couldn't pick other features that I enjoyed. I was like, I like that he has freckles. So okay. For it was just like, it was a funny question to be in there, because I was like, oh, for me, that was a really big queer signifier. I don't think that's what Jane Austen's getting at in this. But for me, that's what I knew.
If someone that I had known for 8 days asked me this.
Yeah, it's a weird question.
Well, and then Isabella uses her answer to basically be like, oh, that's Tilney.
Yeah, she like brings it back to that. And then she also was like, don't betray my confidence on this. And Catherine's like, I don't understand what we're talking about. She's like, just don't betray me. Let's not talk about it. This got really dramatic really fast.
Isabella's being weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wrote down, I'm also confused. Like, I was very lost in that part of the conversation. I was like, I don't know how we got here or what's going on. I'm very confused.
Yeah, it's an odd conversation.
It's a weird conversation. Anyway, should we move along? Because I feel like we could get stuck in this. Isabella is like, we need to move. There are two men staring at me and they're making me uncomfortable. And Catherine's like, okay, I guess we can move. And they move and she's like, tell me if they followed us. And she's like, no, they left. You're fine. And she's like, let's go after them. I was like, you're such a contradiction of everything.
And I see, this is where I think that Catherine is doing a little bit of sitting back and trying to figure things out, because she calls out the contradiction, but kind of softly, kind of like, yeah, if we leave now, we're going to overtake those people that you said you wanted to avoid. And then Isabella's like, no, let's not. And then what I shall not pay them any such compliment, I assure you. I have no notion of treating men with such respect. That is the way to spoil them. And as much as we talk about misogyny and patriarchy and horribleness, I think there's something in the way that Isabella talks about men, is she sees her transactions with men as, again, that as a, she wants to play into her position of power.
Mm, it's transactional.
Yeah. And that transactional aspect of it feels really gross, because Isabella is not looking, it's romance. They're looking for partners. That's part of the assumption. Her interactions with men are, what are they going to give me and how can I have control over them? Whereas I get the impression from Catherine that she's like, I want a friend. Can we be friends first and fall in love that way? And Isabella's like, no, do not spoil men. Do not treat them like humans. And it's like, okay.
We had talked about in the last episode that because Catherine really has not navigated this scene before, and Isabella is a few years older, she could be in some ways a teacher for her. I don't know if I like what she's trying to teach.
Which is fair. But Catherine doesn't know what else to, like, once Isabella kind of goes in that direction, don't think anything of it, and presents Catherine with this contradiction of, like, I'm scared of those men who are watching us, let's go chase them down. Catherine doesn't know what to say.
Catherine's just kind of like, okay, I guess we're gonna go now. And she just kind of goes along with it.
Yeah. But I don't, what would you say? If this friend that you've known for 8 or 9 days was doing weird things like this, would you actually feel the necessity to step in and be like, what's wrong with you? Or would you just sit back and be like, I mean, you're nice enough for 2 weeks.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, I don't know if the relationship is deep enough for her to put energy into those conversations, or if their friendship could survive that. And right now, Catherine doesn't really have other options of people to spend time with. So I think there is a little bit of preservation.
I think there's also, in some ways, Catherine is going with the flow because she doesn't know what else to do. Yes, maybe there's a little bit of insecurity there, but also, what's the actual impact if she goes along with it?
Right. Like, okay, so they overtake these men. Like, whatever. Like, it doesn't actually impact her.
Yeah. If Isabella wants to be weird, Isabella can be weird. Okay, can we just mention the fact that Isabella wanted to take Catherine to go show her a new hat, and then at the end of the chapter, it's just like, they left in pursuit of the young men. It's like very clear that Isabella's motive is actually to overtake the men.
Oh, yeah. The hat is just a, like, ruse of where are we going? So they are in pursuit of the men, and they get passed by a gig. And initially when I read it, that like very first paragraph in chapter 7, I was like, oh, maybe it's Mr. Tilney. It's not. I was initially excited. I was like, oh, yay. Like, it's their brothers. That's really sweet. And how nice of James to come check up on Catherine, and, you know, John to check up on Isabella, although I don't really get that's what's happening for him in any sense. But there does seem to be a genuine connection between James and Catherine, and that he genuinely cares for her. Again, that like big brother character comes up in Jane Austen's writing, that she really likes them and she really likes big brothers. And he seems nice, maybe a little naive in the women that he seems to like, but nice nonetheless. I did put in here, because I think I had made the prediction in the last episode that James and Isabella might end up together. And so when it does say that, you know, James thinks that Isabella is very pretty, it's a weird conversation. I'm right with my predictions. They might not end up together long term. And at this point, I'm kind of like, let's hope not. But at least in this moment, that seems to be in the realm of possibility, that there will be an intertwining. And Isabella seems relatively inclined as well. I don't know if she would commit to him, but she certainly like weighs the benefits of like, well, he's my brother's friend and my friend's brother. So like, that's a pretty good match.
Right.
So I felt vindicated that I had maybe predicted something right.
And what did you think of John Thorpe?
Well, so the one thing I wrote down was, there's a lot of talk about horses, and I'm a horse person. I like horses. It's a lot of talk about horses that I just don't understand. And this whole argument about like, how much time did it take us to get here?
And how far was it?
Yeah, and must have taken us this time because my horse travels at this pace and blah, blah. I was like, oh, you're so boastful. I don't like you. Like, you've just met these people. You don't need to. He strikes me as the person who would one up in a conversation always.
Oh, 100%. He does this in this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to note that James said it was 23 miles and Thorpe said it was 25. Let's keep that in mind as we progress through John Thorpe's fuckery. So he's got horses. He's bragging about his horses. He's like, look at those loins. Look at those loins, Miss Moreland. And she's like, yes, okay.
Loins, oh, great.
Look at my horses. Do you want to hear how I got it all? Yeah, let me tell you. I got this great deal. And Catherine, I love this from Catherine. She's just like, I am sure. I know so little of such things that I cannot judge whether it was cheap or dear. She's just like going full neutral ground of just like, thank you for telling me this information I don't fucking care about. I also have no idea about the information you're telling me. You could be bragging. You could not be bragging. I don't know how much of a shithead you're being.
Well, and what I love is he is an excellent contrast to the conversation she had with Tilney in that, and the, like even the conversation Tilney had with Mrs. Allen, and that he was so perceptive of what would be of interest for them to engage in mutually, yeah, versus talking about the thing that is on his mind and that is important to him, which is what John Thorpe does.
Yeah.
Like he actually really doesn't care if anyone else is interested. He's just going to talk about what he wants to talk about.
Yes. And then they start walking down the road and he just brings the conversation back to his horse.
Yes. And it does make me wonder, like, is there just nothing else there? Right. Like, does he not have depth of character? And I don't mean that in terms of like Jane Austen's writing as a person, like, maybe that's all that there is for him.
Oh, yeah. And it's like, yeah, this feels like a stereotype.
Yes.
Like, which, he's the guy who comes in and he's like, my cars. Oh, my God, I got so many cars. They're so cute. Look at my car. And you're like, I know nothing about cars. Cool, you have a car. That's all I care.
Right. Does it drive? Yes. Great.
Yeah. What I love about this is only a few lines ago, he was arguing about it being 25 miles. And then Catherine's like, won't your horse need a rest? And he's like, he only went 23 miles today. And it's like, he's picking the information that he wants that's going to make him look good, while also not realizing that, I mean, at least us as the audience have a book where we can flip back and be like, dude, what the fuck? You can't lie here and then admit you were wrong here, but not admit you were wrong. Like, so annoying. I hate him.
He gives con man energy.
Right.
It does make me wonder what the Thorpe home looked like growing up, that the two of them are so similar in that way.
I was thinking about this as I was reading Isabella's character. And for the most part, the thing that you get from their mom is that she loves her children. She likes to talk about her kids a lot. Her kids, she loves them. She's got a bunch of girls and John Thorpe's the only boy. She adores him. And as I was reading Isabella's stuff, I thought to myself, yeah, I don't need to find a trauma background for these two. One, I don't have enough information. And two, sometimes people are just selfish and mean for no reason.
Yeah, I guess I don't particularly feel like it has to be a trauma background. But I do wonder, like, and you kind of said it, that Mrs. Thorpe really likes talking about her children and talking very highly of her children. So I wonder if some of this was reinforced.
That sort of ideal of like, you can never be wrong. You're the most precious thing in the world. You don't have to think about other people. Center yourself.
Exactly. Yeah. That you are the center of the universe. Because probably for Mrs. Thorpe, they are the center of the universe. And so they've grown up with that feeling for their life.
Right.
I did write down here, when they're walking along and James and Isabella are walking together, and there's just this comment of they were passed by two young men. And even though she was happy to be walking with James, she still looked back, but only three times. And I was like, I don't trust you. This feels icky. I don't like you. That left a bad taste in my mouth.
The fact that she's like making excuses. I only looked back three times. And yeah, there's just a piece of it where I'm like, okay, the lack of openness is the thing that I don't like. I don't care if she's looking at cute guys.
Well, for me, what it signified is that she is looking and she's looking to see if there is something better.
Mm.
Right? Like, she's not just looking to look. Like, I do, like, there is a little bit of a feeling of, like, appraising whether, oh, would that be a better partner? Would that be a right. better person to be with? Does that advance my social standing in some way? That's the perception I get from her.
Yeah. I mean, that feels like Isabella.
And then John invites Catherine on a carriage ride the next day. And she's like, shouldn't your horse rest? He's like, nope. We ride every day, always. And it's like, you're a bad horse owner. I don't like you.
Work his horses 4 hours a day while on vacation.
Yep. And then he's like flirting with her and being like, I'll take you up there. Like, we'll do this adventure, just the two of us. And then he's like, oh yeah, but also I'm engaged. What? Who are you, Mr. Thorpe? I don't like you.
Okay.
I mean, that is kind of the like feeling of the Thorpes. It's like, okay, maybe they're not as consequential to the story and we'll move along.
What do you think of their conversation about novels? She asks him if he's read Udolpho and he's like, no, ew.
Well, so we had talked about in the last episode that Jane Austen kind of goes on this author's rant of like, novels are awesome and everyone who disses them is stupid because novels are great and it is good literature and people should read them. And so for her to have a character be like, I don't read them, they're stupid. You can just tell right away what Jane Austen thinks of this character. It's like, oh, this is not a character she likes. This is a character she does not like.
I think you're right in that Thorpe doesn't have villain energy, in that you don't see him wanting to destroy other people or anything like that. But you get the idea that he's purposely written to be unlikable.
Yes.
Because he is. He's extremely unlikable.
Well, yeah. And I think you can tell that Jane Austen doesn't like him. He's like, well, I'll only read Mrs. Radcliffe. And Catherine's like, the book I just asked you about is written by Mrs. Radcliffe. And he's like, oh, right. It's that other stupid book. And he's just, he gives the impression of being incapable of admitting when he's wrong. In the scenarios before about the distance that they traveled, and in this one of like, oh, I'm right, I was thinking about something else.
Well, and if we like went back to Jane Austen's rant, she talks about how men put down novels, people put down novels, even though they enjoy them themselves. Nobody wants to admit that they read novels. That's just for ladies. And men still engage in reading them, but they never want it to be assumed that they do. And Jane Austen's like, that's bullshit. We know you like the novels.
Yes.
You read them too. And guess what? You're going to get more girls that way.
It's like he treats them as a guilty pleasure. And Jane Austen's just being like, or it can just be pleasure.
Well, it's not even like he wants to treat them as guilty pleasures. I just can't, John Thorpe. Like, he's yeah. pooping on something for no reason. If you haven't read it, you can just say, no, I haven't read it.
No, I haven't read it. Tell me about it.
Yeah. Oh, have you? He specifically turns the conversation so that he can put down something that Catherine likes. He's not a good person to talk to.
No, no. And I don't know if I think of him as a good person in general. Like, again, like, he's just a little two-faced, like Isabella. Maybe not villain energy, but not people I would want to associate myself with.
Right.
Which, it does make me wonder a little bit about James and John's relationship. How did they become friends? Like, I know they're off at school together, but
it's probably it.
How did they form a close enough attachment to be, like, kind of, like, traveling around with each other? And how does James tolerate him?
Well, he seems to like him just fine.
Yeah, he seems to think highly of him, which makes me question James a little bit.
He asks Catherine, what did you think of my friend? Catherine, like, the line is like, if he hadn't asked the question that way of my friend, there's affection behind this relationship. If he had just asked her, what did you think of John Thorpe? She would have said, I do not like him at all. But instead she says, yeah, I like him very much. He seems very agreeable.
Which, like, is just not true in any sense.
No. But, like, imagine, you know, me asking you, what did you think of my friends? And you just be like, I hated them. I hated them all, Kate. Well, like, what's the point in doing that?
Right. Well, because that just makes it a difficult relationship for us. So, like, yeah, you say the nice thing.
So, yeah, it's really, it's yes, it might seem like Catherine kind of backing down from her opinion, but also, this is such an awkward, incestuous situation. Do not date, well, I can't say this unequivocally, but I feel like it gets messy when you date your sibling's friends.
Well, and your friend's sibling, who yeah. also maybe wants to date your sibling.
Yeah.
Like, it's an interesting map for connections if they were to all end up together.
Yeah, and then they kind of talk about Isabella.
Yeah, and you can tell James is very interested.
Mm-hmm. And I like that Catherine kind of tries to turn the conversation away from that by being like, thank you for coming so far to see me. And James's response is, indeed, Catherine, I love you dearly. Like,
yep.
It's like he's not fully admitting that's why he came, but indeed, yes, I love you.
Yeah. Well, and it says, like, he settles his conscience to be like, yeah, it's because I love you. Totally. Only reason I'm here. I don't find your friend completely hot, and my plan is to end up with her.
Yeah.
Which, yeah. I mean, at least it is nice to see some sibling affection in that way.
I think they're pretty cute together.
They are, because Isabella and John don't have that relationship, and John doesn't seem to have that with any of his other siblings either. Like, their family feels very strangely formal. Like, he shakes his mother's hand when he sees her, which just felt weird. And so, like, there's like a very formalness to that versus, I imagine in this time period, it wasn't super common for siblings to say, like, I love you. And so it like, there feels like there's a genuine affection between James and Catherine.
Yes. Did you notice that John Thorpe swears a lot?
Yes. Initially I was like, is that someone's name? Oh no, he's saying dang, I think.
Damn.
Damn. Yeah. Which, like, okay. Do you swear in front of a lady in that time period? Probably not.
Especially one that you just met on the street 5 seconds ago.
Yep.
Yeah. John, like, we talk about Darcy being a bad flirt. Darcy excels at flirting compared to John Thorpe.
Oh, yeah. Although I imagine that John Thorpe has had some success with women that he thinks this works.
I get the feeling that John Thorpe is surrounded by boys all the time. And I say boys because he's not actually that much older than Catherine. And he, like, you know, they're chumming each other up with toxic masculinity versus yes. it actually being something that any of them have had success with.
Yes. He does kind of, yeah, he gives off that toxic masculinity energy. I haven't put that into words, but when you said that, that made sense.
And I think the reason that I think I compare him to Collins is that they're similar incel-esque vibes.
Mm-hmm. Maybe I haven't spent enough time with him to get to that, but maybe it'll come
out
more.
I don't think he's as entitled and forceful as Mr. Collins, but there's, like, the fact that he just spent a whole entire conversation talking about himself and expecting someone to like him and swearing a whole bunch and fine, cool, you do you, but nobody else has to do that too.
Right. Yeah. And nobody has to like that. But yeah, that sense of entitlement of, it seems like he thinks this conversation's gone really well with Catherine.
Yeah, she must love me now because she's on my horse's loins.
Well, and we're going to take a carriage ride tomorrow and we're going to dance together.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's a complete dick and, like, goes off to talk to a friend when the dancing starts. So she's left by herself.
Yep, he's an asshole.
Yeah, he's so self-centered. Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask you to dance. You can't dance with anyone else, but then I'm going to disappear.
And I think it shows that he views his relationship with women as they are objects for him.
Mm-hmm.
They're possessions. They're not actual. He's not treating Catherine like she's an actual equal human being.
No, very disrespectful.
And I think, yes, we can talk about, you know, the conversation ball and being able to throw it back and forth. I just really dislike like, it doesn't even seem like John Thorpe cares that he's not picking up the ball and throwing it back and forth. There's no pause to be like, what are you reading? What are you interested in? He hasn't asked her a single question along here other than just like, do you like cars? Can I talk about cars? Right.
Do you like my horse's loins?
Look at them. Look at those loins. I'm sorry. It just really got to me.
Aren't they the best loins you've ever seen?
Look at those loins. Anyway, yeah, he's really selfish and just fucks off. And then Isabella is like, I'll stay with you. And then James is like, let's dance. And she's like, bye, Captain. See you later.
Yeah. I was like, it's a nice intention. No follow through. Right? Like, the sentiment is nice of, I will sit and wait with you for my brother to come back. And then she just pieces on her too.
And I think that sums up Isabella's character. There's a line in here where she's talking about essentially that she's an amazing friend and she would do anything for her friends and she doesn't love by halves. And it's something that she has said, not something that she actually will ever follow through with.
Yeah. Yeah. She is a lot of talk, very little follow through.
So yeah, they go off and dance.
Yeah. And Catherine's just sitting there waiting and she's like, all right, well, where's Mr. Thorpe? But then Mr. Tilney shows up. He came back. Yeah. And he brought his sister.
I love that when Catherine sees him, she's just like, that's his sister. She immediately does not doubt that Tilney wouldn't have flirted with her if he was previously, like, if he was married or had an engagement. He wouldn't have flirted and danced with her and spent that much time and been that playful. She's like, that must be his sister. She just knows. And to me, I'm like, yes, you know why? Because Tilney gives you a secure attachment. Tilney, when he flirts with you, makes you feel like you're the only person he is flirting with.
He seems trustworthy.
Yeah, which, like, is the complete opposite vibes of John Thorpe.
100%. And I was both mad and sad that he asked Catherine to dance. And she has to say no, because she's already said to Mr. Thorpe, I'll dance with you, even though he's fucked off. And part of me is like, just go dance with him. Like, you don't owe Mr. Thorpe anything. And I get that social convention says otherwise.
I also feel like at this point, yeah, there would be a few people who'd be like, Catherine. But for the most part, people would be like, yeah, Thorpe's the douche.
Yeah. But I think the thing is the people who would be like, Catherine, you know, you're in the wrong, would be like Mrs. Allen, who is her chaperone, like who is one of her overseeing people.
I don't know. I feel like Mrs. Allen would be like, I want you two to smooch. Please go smooch Tilney. He talked to me about muslin.
I think she would be concerned about how it would impact their relationship with the Thorpes while they're in town.
Maybe. Yeah.
And so her brother,
mm-hmm,
and Isabella, right? Like, the people that she's going to spend the most time with would be the ones who would be like, Catherine, what are you doing? And I think some of that would be that the way this is set up, I don't think any of those people would hold John Thorpe accountable.
Yeah, John Thorpe's an ass.
Yes, we're mad at him. I did right here, go away, John, when she can't dance with Tilney and he shows back up.
Tilney stays and sits with the Allens.
He does. But then he's not there when she gets off the dance floor, and I'm mad about it. And he dances with someone else.
Because he got bored.
I know.
This is also the thing to remember, and I think Catherine actually plays this really well. She's sad about it, that she didn't get to dance with him, but she's not devastated. She had a bad night, and the guy she liked danced with someone else, and like was a good person to his dance partner and went in for tea with her. She's like, yeah, I danced with this guy once at a party. It's okay. Right.
They're not committed to each other.
Yeah, she's disappointed, but she's not devastated or jealous by, she's maybe envious of his dance partner. She's not jealous. She doesn't feel any possession over Tilney. What did you think of Miss Tilney?
I like her. She seems very, I guess what she gets described as is she has good sense, good breeding. She's not shy. She's not overly open. Like, she seems very neutral to me,
mm-hmm,
which is, I don't feel bad about that. I think that's a good thing. And I like that Catherine's interested in getting to know her.
Well, yeah. Catherine probably thinks, I had good conversation with Mr. Tilney. Why wouldn't I want to be friends with his sister? She must be like him.
Right. Well, and he speaks highly of his sister. And
yeah,
he has a close affection with her. So like, clear, maybe there's a bond there. And maybe, yeah, maybe they're equally interesting people.
Yeah, which is super cute.
I think it's nice that he brought his sister to Bath with him.
Yes. He had to leave and go get her.
Yeah. I think it's nice that he left and went and got her.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's describing all of this to Isabella. And Isabella, like, turns it into this whole flirting thing with James of, like, you want to know what we're whispering about? And I'm not going to go dance with you because that would look bad. And then she goes off and dances with him. So again, it's like, again, that like contradictory. Uh-huh. She's going to say one thing and do something completely opposite.
Well, and she ropes Catherine into this as well.
Mm-hmm.
And Catherine's opinion is, if you think it's a bad idea, don't do it.
Yeah.
And then she does it anyway. You heard your sister. We shouldn't do it. Let's go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and I don't love that she's putting Catherine in between, like, pick a side between me and your brother.
Right?
Where do your loyalties lie? It
yeah.
just, yeah, it makes me feel icky. She makes me feel icky.
That's fair.
I don't like her. I don't trust her. And then she's being quizzed also by Mrs. Allen and...
Is cute.
And Mrs. Thorpe of, like, what did you think of John? And she's like, yeah, he seems charming. Sure. And Mrs. Allen's like, what about Tilney? Tell me about Tilney. Where did he go? He must have been looking for you to go and dance. And then yeah. we find out he's dancing with someone else. And all I wrote was, boo! I was very mad.
Who were you mad at?
John Thorpe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not mad. At, like, I get why Tilney is dancing with someone else. I'm not mad at him. Do I wish he was dancing with Catherine? Yes. And so do I feel her disappointment of watching the guy that she's like, oh, we had a lot of fun. I'd like to get to know him better. Spending time with someone else. So she's losing out on that opportunity. Yes. But am I mad at him or am I mad at her? No, I'm mad at John Thorpe for being an ass.
Yeah. I also love how cute Mrs. Allen is in that exchange. Like, John Thorpe, and she's like, no, tell me, did he see you? Did he dance with you? And then she's like talking nice about him. And Mrs. Thorpe is like, yes, my son. Ha ha ha. And Mrs. Allen later is just like, I think she thought I was talking about her son. That's weird. Like, if Mrs. Allen thinks you're being weird, you're being really weird and oblivious because she's so weird. Oblivious. Yeah, there's a line in here where James comes over to see the Allens and she asks him how much he thinks her muff cost. And like, she is an oblivious social person and only talks about very minimal things, which is part of Tilney, like, related to her on that level and in a very sweet and kind way. But if Mrs. Allen is like, I don't think she was following the thread of the conversation.
No, that's bad. She's not even listening, right? She's still off thinking about her kids. And I think it's just very reflective of her worldview. Her world revolves around her kids. So of course, there's yeah. no other man that anyone could be talking about. It has to be her son. He's so amazing. Like, no, your son sucks.
Yeah.
Son's a dick. No one likes him except for you and himself. I get the impression John Thorpe really likes John Thorpe.
Yes. Right?
And then he's like, all right, come dance with me, Catherine. And she's like, no, I already danced with you. I don't want to dance with you. Go away.
Yeah.
He's like, well, if you won't dance, then let's go quiz my sisters and their partners. And she's like, no, I don't want to spend time with you. Go
yeah.
away. So he does, which is great.
She's drawing some decently clear boundaries.
Yes, which I think is good because we haven't seen that a lot from Catherine.
She hasn't had to draw boundaries up till this point. Nobody's been super, she hasn't had anything to care about. Right? Like, yes, there are moments where she could have called out Isabella, but there was no reason to.
Right. There was no need.
Yeah. You want to lie to me? Sure. Okay. You can lie to me.
Yeah. We both know you're lying to me, so it's fine. And then they have tea, and tea sucks for Catherine because Tilney goes off and has tea with the person he danced with. And Miss Tilney is on the other side of the table, and James and Isabella are two self-centered people, self-centered in themselves. And I just, this last line of the latter had no leisure to bestow more on her friend than one smile, one squeeze, and one, dearest Catherine. And all I wrote was, I don't like any of them. I didn't like anyone in these chapters.
You didn't like Mr. Tilney?
He wasn't in it enough, I guess what I will say. I liked Catherine, but all the other characters, I feel like either weren't in it enough, like Tilney and Miss Tilney, for me to have an impression, or we're in it too much and just need to stop talking. Like all of them.
We're gonna have fun with Mansfield Park. Because what you just described there, where the main character is the only character that you like. Yeah.
Oh, good.
Mansfield Park to a T.
So maybe we'll save that one for last.
Maybe. So yeah, T is disappointing.
I'm disappointing? Huh. You know what you said? You said tea is disappointing. And you meant the beverage and the tea time. And I heard tea, as in me, is disappointing. You're right, though. Tea is disappointing. And tea is disappointed.
And then we're kind of just done.
Where do we go next from here, Kate? What chapters are we reading?
We're going to do 9, 10, and 11.
Okay, so three chapters. I feel like I have a sense of what three chapters in Northanger feels like. So I feel like I can make my predictions a little, maybe a little more specifically. So here are my predictions for the next three chapters. And I don't know if I...
And beyond.
Well, and beyond. But the next three chapters, I anticipate there will be more interactions with Tilney and with Miss Tilney. My guess is she's going to dance with Mr. Tilney, and she's going to have tea or like meet at the pump room with Miss Tilney to get to know her better. She's going to start distancing herself from the Thorpes, and they're going to hold on with claws of frustration to try and hold on to her, because I suspect that they don't have other people to cling on to, so they're going to try and cling on to Catherine as much as possible, especially if she's spending time with Tilney.
Right.
I anticipate James and Isabella will continue to dance together and be together, but Isabella probably is not the most reliable, so she'll probably also dance and flirt with other people, which is not a bad thing. I'm not mad about that, but
it's this impression that she's looking for something better.
Exactly. Yeah, not that she's having a good time or even like playing the field or seeing what her options are, rather like in constant pursuit of something better.
Right.
And so I anticipate that. I think I'm going to leave it at those predictions. So,
okay.
We'll see.
Do you have a favorite quote?
I do have a favorite quote. So my favorite quote, it's a much longer sentence, but the part that I pull out that I really like is when Catherine's kind of reflecting on having said yes to Mr. Thorpe earlier in the day for dancing, and then Tilney comes along and she's sad. And it's this quote of, from the whole, she deduced this useful lesson, that to go previously engaged to a ball does not necessarily increase either the dignity or enjoyment of a young lady. And I loved that because I think it shows that she's growing and she's learning. It shows that she's maybe going to leave some space for spontaneity in her life, that like setting a commitment earlier might not necessarily be the best thing, and recognizing that like, oh, setting a commitment to a guy who really sucks, not a great idea. So yeah. I really loved that quote. I think it's a good lesson for everyone.
Yeah.
What about you? What's your favorite quote?
I'm going to pick the shit quote that is a good quote but is a shit quote because of who says it.
Okay.
There's nothing I would not do for those who are really my friends. I have no notion of loving people by halves. It's not my nature. The line right after that of my attachments are always excessively strong. That's a little troubling because attachments, not all of your attachments should be intense. What I don't get the impression that Isabella's attachments are actually strong. I get the impression that her attachments are actually intense. And she's imagining that means the same thing as strong, because a strong attachment is a secure attachment that you trust. Isabella doesn't seem like someone who is trustworthy or trusts many people. She feels things super intensely, and she thinks that means strength because it's impacting her so deeply. But strength is not the same thing as an intense connection. And I think that speaks to the relationship that she's having and building with Catherine, of like this super quick, intense bond. And she is tricking Catherine and kind of tricking herself into assuming that intensity means strength.
Yes.
But the first part of that is like super sweet. And if like a Jane Bennett said that line, you'd be like, yes, Jane, we love you. But it's Isabella Thorpe.
Well, I think that is the beauty of Jane Austen's character development, is that the same words in a different character's mouth have very different connotations. And she writes her characters with such depth that you understand that.
That's one of the lines, you know, there were a couple of Caroline Bingley lines that people pull out and like, look, this is a cute line. And then you're like, yeah, Caroline said it. And they're like, oh, this is one of those lines that people pull out because it seems so really good and like a good way to be like, friends, I love you. But actually, when you like pull it apart in terms of the actual character.
I think that is Isabella in a nutshell, that she says a lot of things that feel and sound very profound, but her actions and even the words she sometimes says right after contradict that profoundness. So she's all talk, but no follow through.
And I find it really interesting. And like in terms of the power dynamic of this friendship, she's older than Catherine, I think by like 4 years. It's not it, like even 2 years is not insignificant at that, you know, at that age.
Yeah.
That they're at. I still feel like Catherine is more grounded, and yeah, Catherine is maybe naive and might embarrass herself, but Catherine isn't going to cause anyone else harm and try and pull anyone else down with them. Whereas I get the impression that Isabella is grabbing people to try and save herself and just pulling them under. That's the energy I get from her.
Yeah, she's trying to anchor herself in other people.
Her sense of identity is not well developed.
Yeah.
Even though she's the older one.
Well, I think these chapters were definitely interesting. I'm enjoying the pace at which this book is moving. We talked about this last time, that sometimes Pride and Prejudice would, you know, move along a little slowly. So I like that this one's kind of moving what feels relatively quickly.
Yeah. I am excited to hear your thoughts on the next three chapters. You may feel dissatisfied, yet satisfied when you get to the end. I want to keep checking in on your continued opinions of the Thorpes.
Okay. We'll keep that as a theme. I'm sure that runs through this podcast, is what do we think of the Thorpes?
Yeah. If you'd like, you can find us on Instagram. That is at Austen Therapy Podcast. You can also follow my meme account, where I post memes every so often, at Austen Therapy. You can find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and most of the places where you find podcasts that I could figure out how to get us attached to. So like and share there. Yeah. Anything else that you want to say, Teresa, before I keep being weird?
No, I think I'm good. Hopefully people are liking the interspersed Pride and Prejudice miniseries. I don't think it'll be fully alternating one for one, but those will kind of be sprinkled into this season of Northanger.
Yeah. So thanks for listening, and we look forward to having you along next time.
Bye. Bye.